Good afternoon, brothers and sisters in Christ, and welcome to our meeting at the Little League Senior Citizens Hall in College Point, New York. And today is April 18th, the year of our Lord, 2010. And I see as I scan the audience, I see we have some distinguished guests this afternoon. Let us start with Father William Scott Daniels, a Dominican. It's our pleasure to have him here. He'll be speaking later on, and Father is always a very excellent and inspiring speaker, so I know you'll be looking forward to that. And especially, how many priests do we really have that are willing to stand up here with courage and conviction and express their faith, not only their faith in the message of Our Lady of the Roses, but the importance of the message of Our Lady of the Roses and how crucial it is for the church and for the world. So it is our pleasure that you are joining us this afternoon, Father. And I see Michael Broidrick. He has come all the way from Boston. Gladys Sitkowski from Springfield, Massachusetts, our two organizers and their fine devotees that they brought with them. So welcome. Regina Fox has come up here from Central Jersey, actually. Regina Fox, of course, is our international pilgrimage coordinator, and she's joined by Lena from Philadelphia. So. And on all of you, as always, we welcome all of you. And as we always say, it really is a joy to be amongst companionable spirits. Our Lady has used that term, but it really does mean so much. And it's very important that we are in the midst of fellow brothers and sisters that think and act and speak the same language. I don't have to tell you, there's not many people in your circle, in your life, that speak the same language as you. So I know that this is a consolation, and this is an occasion where we gather, like St. Paul says, we strengthen our bond, and we really get that unity that we need so we can go forward with the zeal that's necessary in this mission of Our Lady of the Roses. We do want to extend our condolences, our prayers to all the fine Polish people. It's obviously a very traumatic experience that they had last weekend to lose their very effective and conservative president and an archbishop, and most of their leadership of the Polish government was lost in that tragic plane crash last Saturday, I believe it was, about 8 days ago. And I know it must be a terrible and traumatic experience. I don't see Ryszarda here. Ryszarda obviously is Polish, and she regularly helps us in the office. And she told Pete, she says, I will not be in this week. I am in mourning. And I see she's not here yet. So she's still grieving. And it was obviously very, very tough situation. And I understand the Polish president was very religious, a very good Orthodox Catholic, and a good man, just a good and just man, conservative and against communism. And God knows we need people like that, God-fearing people that are enemies of atheistic communism. That's so important. And an archbishop also perished. That was part of his entourage, and as we said, so much of that leadership. So our prayers are with them. James, of course, has been mentioning the good Polish people, the victims, the president, at our holy hour. And I know with their faith, their gift of faith, they will survive this. And we certainly keep them in our prayers that they elect another Polish president that's as good and as faithful as President Kaczynski. Did I pronounce that right? Kaczynski. President Kaczynski. It's our pleasure to introduce or to bring up Father William Scott Daniels. As you can see, Father is a Dominican. And Father is... I'm sorry. Okay. Father has two master's degrees in theology. And he's a little smarter than what he looks, you know. Okay. I'm sorry. All right, Father. My mother taught me to be respectful to priests. I'm sorry. So without further ado, come on up, Father. God love you.
By the way, you all know that we Dominicans are the keepers of the Holy Rosary, you know. Blessed Virgin gave it to St. Dominic in the midst of the Albigensian heresy to combat heresy. Of course, for us too, it is a meditation and reflection on all the sacred mysteries of our faith. But we're the promoters, and I'm very honored. Well, that's all right. I can keep talking. I'll be here for a while. Michael gave me an hour and a half, so I first and foremost want to thank you all. Is everyone listening? I want to thank you all as a priest of Jesus Christ and as a priest of the church for all the prayers, penances, and sacrifices you endure at that holy hour every Sunday. I can tell you some horror stories, some things that would make the hair stand up on the back of your necks. Priests are in trouble. You've got the message. It's already been confirmed. I know firsthand. And you know, modernism has taken such a great hold in the church that those who have been formed since Vatican II, God love them, it's really not their fault. They've been schooled and formed in modernism. Those things that were condemned by Pope Blessed Pius IX and St. Pius X were somehow at Vatican II integrated by the Pariti. You know who the Pariti were? Those were the official theologians at the Second Vatican Council, to try to get those into the documents. Contradictions, blatant contradictions of what was condemned by Pius IX and Pius X. Well, now, I always thought that the Holy Spirit was the animative principle of the church. I thought that we could not be misled by error. Well, the truth is still the truth, but human beings still have free will. You know, St. John Chrysostom said in the 3rd century that hell is paved with the skulls of bishops and priests. 3rd century. Human nature hasn't changed that much. There are more of us, and there are more of us doing horrible things. But that's how important it is for all of you to continue praying for us. And I cannot tell you, and I will go a step further, and even dare say that it's probably because of your prayers that I was preserved during formation. Of course, I'll go into more detail about that later. During formation and education in the studium, or the seminary. That's what we Dominicans call the seminary. But I don't think I can impress upon you enough how deeply grateful I am for your prayers. You know, we're on the front lines. And when you don't have the peer support, the help of fellow priests, it's very, very difficult. Now, I want to say to you, like St. Thomas More said, this is not the sort of stuff martyrs are made of. And, you know, the thing is, I'm waiting for the day. I'm thinking, Lord, just give me strength and prepare me, because, you know, the head could go on the chopping block, you know. But bishops and priests are so preoccupied with the sex scandals and all this, that something like this doesn't even appear on the radar screen. Doesn't mean it can't, as we've discussed, Michael. But at any rate, I'm doing it because I believe in it. And I know where my help comes from, and it's not from me. And it's the same for all of you. We know where our help comes from. But the devil attacks what is true. He's not going to bother with something or with someone who's already doing his bidding. He just isn't going to do it. And if God permits it, that means God is also, at the same time with us, giving us the strength and the courage to go on. You know, at the last two banquets when I talked, I spoke on the Augustinian teaching on grace, and last year, I can't remember exactly what I talked about, but today, and I'm feeling a little apprehensive about it, but I think it's important because, again, goodness and love and truth, all are God himself shared with us. We are not the source of any good. It's pure gift from God. That's what grace is. So, having said that, I want to tell you, if it hadn't been years ago for the foundation that I got, because I started Catholic elementary school right out in the aftermath of Vatican II, and that's when the catechism started becoming more humanistic. You know, it's more human-centered. You know, doing for neighbor, but what about the being giving first and foremost your whole heart, mind, and soul to God? You know, We all understand that. For years, that was the case. And it took me years to find my niche in the priesthood because of all the experimentation in the 70s and 80s. It was difficult. You'd go to a religious house or you'd go to a seminary. Everybody was experimenting. They couldn't give a flying flip what the Pope had to say. And there are still some like that today. So my traditional faith, the Catholic faith, was maintained by what I learned here years ago. So when I'm sitting in a class in scripture or ecclesiology or liturgy, worship, any of those classes, and you hear something that you know isn't Catholic and you can identify it, and just rather than not knowing to begin with and being taught error. So I have to emphasize, good people, the importance of the graces that God has given us through His own Blessed Mother, Our Lady of the Roses. And even if this has been, even if the numbers have shrunk to the bare minimum, it's just like in the church today. You know, the church may very well shrink to a small handful of people. It may go underground again, but the gates of hell will still not prevail against it. I have to tell you that, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, it cannot be emphasized enough that God, who is love Himself, made you and me for Himself to be with Him for all eternity. That's why He made us, to know Him and to love Him and to rest with Him for all eternity in the beatific vision. However, in this life, people fall, people make mistakes, people are distracted, people are immature. Whatever the case may be that draws a person into a life of sin, God does not give up on us. It is rather we who give up on Him. And I have to tell you, I probably should have mentioned this my first year back when I was, I gave that talk at the banquet. I think it's important, and I think a person has credibility when he or she names that grace, not just talking about a theological point, but actually demonstrates the grace of God animating a person's life. My life went far afield of what was right and what was good. Became very distracted, was hurt terribly by a priest, left, went back, didn't go to Mass for 2 years. Never denied, ever, once. Maybe I didn't give much thought to it, but never denied once the apparitions. And then, of course, throughout the course of the years, that gradual calling back, you know, going to seminary, entering the Dominican order, going through formation. And so about 2 or 3 years ago, and this sort of happened concurrently, I was feeling a very deep call by God to enter pro-life ministry full-time, to the point of seeing and hearing the innocents, the holy innocents who have been slaughtered, 50 million since 1973, saying to me, "What are you doing for us?" And that's been almost a year now, and that's what enables me to travel the country, because I go to parishes and I do parish missions all over. But at the same time then, and I think it, I can't really remember how it happened, but Michael or James Donahue or Bill Dykes got in touch with me. I had sent them something, a donation or something, I can't remember. Oh, yes, that's what it was. I ordered a whole stack of the same, thank you for that. I had ordered a... I ordered a whole stack of the St. Michael exorcism prayers. And then I received letters, and he sent me a Mass card, "Congratulations on your ordination to the priesthood." And then the conversation started. And do you think we could even go further out on the limb, and you can share with them what you told me the other day? You know what I mean, yeah. That wonderful grace you were telling me about, I think, should that be said or no? Okay. Well, you know, the thing is this. Well, the thing is this. I really feel when God does something for us, it's not just for us alone. And when we share the workings of grace in our lives, we share those, and people at that point will they connect. They say, I have experienced that, or this has happened to me. They're thinking, well, I'm not crazy. It happens to other people. God is working in their lives. So they come forward and share the grace of God as it has been made manifest in their own lives. But anyway, it's powerful, powerful indeed. And God does not give up on us. And I'm not normally the type of person by nature who believes that someone can love you so much that they will pursue you endlessly, continuously, especially God, you know, that they will eventually give up on you. Not God. Not God. And so, you know, even as difficult as that time was for me in trying to run away from my vocation, God kept saying, no, nothing's going to work out for you. Nothing. And it didn't. Until I found my niche in the Dominican Order. And the same is true for all of us. God has a vocation for everyone. And, you know, I don't know, some people seem to hear it more clearly than other people do. But it was undeniable, undeniable. And Our Lady even told me, I went to Lourdes in 1995, and the prayer that started there was, Blessed Mother, if it is God's will, bring me back. Back to the, you know, pursuing the priesthood and religious life. And it was indeed His will. But then even throughout the years of being in religious life, this August will be 15 years I've been a Dominican. 15 years, yeah. But even in the priesthood, how my life has changed. And we're Catholics. We believe that the sacraments affect what they signify. Real, true grace comes through the sacraments. Well, it also comes through the sacrament of the priesthood. It's a sacrament, isn't it? And what a change. What a, you know, the way, and it's all God's gift. I can't explain it. You know, whereas it didn't matter before, suddenly, you know, you feel God's presence and you know the truth about yourself, what you're called to do. I've never seen myself as a Dominican, a preacher. I've never seen myself being able to play the role of a prophet even. And good Bill Dykes here the other day gave me a DVD which I watched on Jeremiah, the call of the prophets. You know, he didn't realize, I'm just a child, I'm just a boy. I can't do this. Well, God obviously knows something about ourselves, infinitely more than we know about ourselves. I know there will come a point where I'll have to make a decision. People will know where I stand on things, and goodness only knows what'll happen after that. But God does supply the grace. It does not come from me, and it does not come from you. So I want to emphasize, too, in being a pilgrim to Our Lady's shrine, realize that she has called, God has called you through her intercession. You're there by the grace of God, not because you're especially holy. You know, this is God's work. You know, it's God's work. And there is another thing. You know, as I mentioned earlier, I've been now, it'll be a year next month, I've been working in a pro-life ministry, which I love. I've really found my niche. And I have come to realize more and more, I've always been pro-life, but boy, there's just more and more to this. You know, the blood guilt that is on our hands collectively as a nation. We can talk about every other issue affecting the human race, the economy, all of, nothing is going to get better, nothing, God will not bless us in any way until we stop murdering His children. You can just forget it. The blood guilt is on our hands. And that's why I'm thinking too, since I entered this ministry, of the Blessed Mother's having chosen New York and the rose. The rose is a symbol of life. And if she gives other, and I've got it here, I'll read it in just a moment. She gives another description, explanation for the rose, which is the queen of all flowers, yes. But it is also the symbol for life. New York, in 1971, one of the first states to have its own abortion laws, before the 1973 Roe v. Wade or Doe v. Bolton. Can you imagine if only somehow we could get a glimpse of what the world would look like had Our Lady not appeared, had people not come forward, repented, followed her, trusted God in and through her intercession, and continue it offering prayers and penances and sacrifices. Do you also realize, now I've been a teacher for the last 6 years, well, before I started with my pro-life ministry, I was a teacher and chaplain in a Catholic high school. Those kids don't know their faith. I want to tell you that their parents, my generation, don't know their faith. They were educated at the same time I was after Vatican II in elementary school. They don't know their faith. I go across the country. There are some people didn't think abortion was a mortal sin. Some of them don't even know what a mortal sin is. I'm serious. And that, of course, the degree of culpability is lessened because of that. It doesn't change the inherent evil nature of the act. But their culpability is lessened. But that's no excuse. And I've been reading these different presentations on a coalition from different pro-life groups across the country. And, you know, they're thinking, how can we join efforts here to put an end to this rather than fight against one another? Everybody has gifts, and everybody, you know, every different group will be able to enhance the whole pro-life movement by coming together and working as one group. But mark my words, this earth will be destroyed if we don't stop murdering God's children. God intends every one of us, you and me, to be born and to live our lives according to His holy design, and no human is any more human than another. And I know a lot of people get so used to this, they don't even think anything about it anymore. But it's like slavery. It's like the Nazi Holocaust. We're so close to it. Now a generation or two down the road, it might strike people then and make them as horrified as you and I would be towards what happened in Nazi concentration camps or with the slavery situation in this country before the Civil War. But we are called to be faithful sons and daughters of the Church of God. I like an interactive crowd, so I'm going to put you to work. Do you have any questions? Would you like to say something? Not a priest, a Dominican, a religious. Yeah. Because becoming a Dominican brother, you have to go through years of formation. I had my degree in undergrad degree in philosophy, then five years of novitiate, and then 5 years of study. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, about 10 years in all. Yes, dear.
Father, I did want to say to you, I thought it was very interesting that you were at Lourdes in 1995, that was the year Veronica died, the seer of the Lourdes of America, and you were praying about your vocation.
I never made that connection. Well, that's... Wow. Yeah, I've never made that connection. July, and she died in August, didn't she?
Her birthday is
July 12th.
Yeah, July 12th.
I'm older than I look, folks. I'm almost 50 years old. Well, you have to tell them, well, you're just a kid, what do you know, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That was a long time ago. You know, other than what I've said, folks, I don't think I could ever offer. I do want to mention something about this. I can't really thank you enough. Again, from my own experience, there are priests who are, you know, living in the priesthood who have been ordained, and I'm thinking they put their souls in jeopardy because they're living a life to be taken care of. As is obvious from their ministries and what they do, they're more interested in their agendas than they are the church. You know, in teaching the truth that God has revealed and that the church, the magisterium, has handed down to us. And as St. Paul says, woe to me if I preach to you another gospel. And Michael and I, we heard on NPR, you know, Silvia Poggioli, the one who does the Italian reporting, you know, it's she was talking, I turned the radio on, and she was saying, quoting Hans Küng, where Hans Küng is telling the bishops of the world, oh, you know, he's becoming too orthodox. Just ignore him. Just ignore him, you know. Oh, that's what's wrong with us to begin with, you know. So it's that kind of rebellion, and they're still, they're so wedded to this. It's like, no, we have come so far. As a matter of fact, I had there was a petition being circulated long after Rome had already set in stone what the new translations for the new Roman Missal in English would be. A priest from the Archdiocese of Seattle, Washington, and many other priests in this country and other people signing this petition to tell the Pope, we don't want that. It's going back. We don't want that. I'm sorry, the church has already spoken. That's the way it is. It's not a democratic institution. It's the Roman Catholic Church. It's monarchical. Do you know who the monarch is? The Pope. So, we have to be obedient. Now, another thing. I haven't had anyone say to me yet, any of my brothers or any other priests say, well, you know that's been condemned. I've had other people say. Because, you know, when I'm in airports and everything, I give the rose petal to everybody, people I'm sitting next to, and they always thank me, and the last two times, there were very devout Catholics sitting next to me, you know. Of course, I wear my clerical, so they know I'm a priest. But, you know, people say, that's been condemned, Father. I pull out, you know, you give them the standard letter. That where does it say condemned in there? There's been no investigation. There's no condemnation if there's no investigation. And, you know, with the church the way it is today, the structure of the church, it's not operating according to the way the church is supposedly, the way it is structured, you know, bishops and priests, it just seems like they're going off following their own agendas, and they're not really mindful of the tradition part. When my seminary was investigated by the Vatican, I was 2 years out, but they wanted to talk to everyone ordained after 2 years. I said to him, I said, Father, you know, he was an oblate of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and he had his doctorate in Mariology, theology of Mary. And I said, Father, if you want me to just to sum up my experience, it would be this. You know, they gave us a critique of the received tradition before they gave us the received tradition. Well, how can we critique something we don't know? So we're in dire straits. You all knew that. You've known it for years. You've been coming to, you've heard the messages, you've read the messages, you know them. I'm just giving you concrete proof to back it up. It is happening. And you know, really, the shrine of Our Lady of the Roses and the Bayside message really is nothing but the third secret revealed. And you know, God will not be outdone. If the bishops and the priests aren't doing what they are supposed to be doing, God's not going to be outdone. Guess what? He's called each and every one of you. The laity will save the church. I've said that for years. The laity will save the church. And it's bearing out.
Yes, sir. The priests and bishops aren't prophetic. They don't talk that way. So Our Lady did have to raise someone up. They're not prophetic. Exactly. They're not showing us where they're going, where we're going. We can't see it through their eyes.
Well, and talk about not cooperating with the grace that comes through their ordination. It's really awful. I say it all the time. You know, we don't need any more CEOs and administrators. We need shepherds in the church. You know, when I find, you know, a lot of these seminarians go over to Rome thinking that's an automatic ticket to becoming a bishop. They want, they believe in what they call a transitional presbyterate. You know, there's a transitional diaconate, but a transitional presbyterate. Well, see, that's, you know, that's a special call. But there is such a beauty about the episcopacy that needs to be recaptured, because so many of them, I think, have just become so mired in politics and mundane things that they forget their role as shepherds. They have to answer for the souls of the people in their charge. Scares me to death when I think about it. You know, because as I preach often, there will be a judgment day. We'll all be present there, all of us. The bishops will be present there, and priests. And you just wonder. We don't stop hoping. We trust in God, and we are asked to pray, and that's what you do. That's what you do. You're so dedicated. You go to the holy hours, you go to the vigils, and you're praying for these priests and the bishops. And the poor Holy Father, there's no telling what crosses his desk every day. What he has to endure and the sadness. My spiritual director back in Memphis told me, he said this to me a couple of times. He said poor Pope Paul VI would cry at night because of all the laicizations he would have to sign at the end of the day. Because of this mass exodus of men who left the priesthood after Vatican II. And then, well, what do you think about Pope Benedict, who has since these scandals have come out, has been signing these forced laicizations? And he has. He's very strict. If it has been proven that a man has done this, out. And nobody can do that. A bishop can't do that. It goes directly to Rome. He has to do it. So you imagine how many priests there are in the world. And the Pope alone does that. So that's where we are, folks. But we don't give up. You know, as we pray today, the acts of faith, hope, and charity. We hope because we do trust in the Lord's promises. And Christ has already won the victory for Almighty God. But we're still in time on this journey. We don't see the complete picture as God does. So we may have to suffer. And the unfolding of this whole, you know, before Christ comes again, the unfolding of the Antichrist and the great apostasy. But it's already been won by Jesus. Jesus is God. He was crucified, died, and is raised again. So we don't despair. That's the sin of Judas. We don't despair at all. And we have to believe it's not us. We're not the Messiahs. We are instruments of Almighty God. Just instruments and vessels. I want to continue to encourage you. This is the best thing I've seen when I came back. This is what I would give to people back home, my spiritual director. You know, this Bayside Facts Revealed, which spells it out all excellently. You know, I can't believe that if the Bishop of the Diocese of Memphis got this and read it, he'd say, well, they're right. Maybe I should start a canonical investigation. They're not right and just in what they're saying. That's why you are not obliged to obey that. If there had been a formal canonical investigation, and if it was decided that there was nothing supernatural about it, that'd be a different matter.
Yes, Peter. Yes. I went to parochial school at St. Joseph's in the city, and from the very beginning, you were talking about the third secret. 1960, we're going to hear about, you know, Fatima, what a Blessed Mother had said. Well, 1960 comes, nothing, nada. Never heard anything. So, well, I mean, what are you going to do? And then you find out about Bayside. And I said, hey, people got to... When I first found out about it, I said, my God. I said, I got to do something about this here. Matter of fact, the first thing I did, I went to St. Joseph's Church and handed out the messages of people coming in. And ever since then, I've been able to keep going.
Wow.
And no, we're doing that. But no, because people got to basically know what that message is and everything.
Exactly. I told you he was a good disciple.
Whether they like it or not, they rip up my faith, I did my job, I handed it to them. And that's where it should be.
Peter,
after you're giving out the message, not at the time, it's very short.
Peter, do you remember when you were at Forked River? Yeah, when I was down there at St. Pius X, you know how big that parish is. People were saying about you when I was going out with the priest and so, well, he's handing out that crazy literature. I said, you know, that hasn't been investigated and it hasn't been condemned. But God bless you. Peter, I was just telling Michael the other day, I said, I can think of no finer disciple than yourself, and you have a great deal of courage. God bless you. Well, now, good people, what questions, insights that you have? I've said enough, really, I think. I want to thank you again. I want to encourage you to really muster up the energy, the courage. Well, you can't do it without God's help. And Our Lady of the Roses, too, to help bring other people to the shrine. Again, thank you, and keep praying. Please keep offering your prayers for priests, for their souls. You know, when you die, that's it. You all know this. I'm preaching to the choir. But, you know, that's if you think about it, that we only have one life to live. That's it. I always tell people when I'm preaching pro-life homilies, I say, look, we're good Catholics. Reincarnation is condemned. We don't believe it. One man in Orlando, Florida came up to me afterwards and he says, well, Father, I happen to believe in reincarnation. You may believe in it. You may believe anything, but it's false. It's not true. It's not Catholic. It's condemned. I told him. I said, did you not listen to the homily? I said, that's how special and unique you are and unrepeatable. There can't be another you. It's impossible. You're the only you there ever will be. Even your body, not just your soul. Your body too. You know? So, but anyway, let's keep the faith and let's muster up the, or get the people, get people to come with us. Bring them with us, you know? And we'll have maybe like Regina, what was it in the 80s when those thousands of, or not thousands, well, thousands of people, but hundreds of buses, remember when they parked them over the bridge? So let's pray. Let's do it. God can do anything, and he wants our salvation, John, as I said this morning in my preaching. God wants our salvation more than we want it.
Veronica said they would come. She told me this. When I tell you they will come by the thousands, and you are paving the way.
Yeah. It's just that we don't see the end results. That doesn't matter. God knows, God sees, and he's at work in all of us.
So we are paving the way for the future pilgrims. We're laying the groundwork.
That's right. God's gonna.
Well, thank you, Father, very much. God bless you. Okay, we appreciate those that fine talk, Father, and it's always, you talk about a lift. Isn't that a big lift to hear a Dominican priest speak with such courage and conviction and with such force, isn't it? That's enough to energize you and give you that strength, and it's going to make it easier for you to summon up that courage and conviction of your own in getting that new soul to the grounds and to keep going forward as a disciple of the latter days. And God bless you, Father. Keep him, obviously, keep Father in your prayers, because he has extended himself, and we need he needs the protection of Saint Michael, that he can continue to go forward as one of our good priests, as one of our chaplains and spiritual advisors, who is exercising his priestly ministry on the holy grounds for the benefit of you and for me. So really keep him in your prayers. We certainly need him. We mentioned that we were going to speak about the 666 attack on Pope Benedict XVI, and I want to share with you really an astonishing, miraculous photo. But first, Father Scott certainly mentioned it in his talk, the poor Holy Father. Isn't it? It's so, I know it must sadden and pain you. I know it does me when you consider what he is enduring right now. This is a full, I repeat, this is a full assault from the agents of 666. There's no other way to describe it. He is getting it lock, stock, and barrel from 666. The agents, oh no, 666 himself. And we know that. How do we know that? Well, obviously, by your fruits you are known. But Our Lady and Our Lord have made it so clear, and the message, what their objective is, 666. And just a very quick review, especially for our listeners in our website land. 666. Our Lady gave us that information, informed and educated us. Lucifer and five major demons that have been released from hell. The second six is for the 6 days of suffering, World War III, and then the Ball of Redemption. World War III is the first 3 days. The Ball of Redemption is the second 3 days, and that's going to end this nuclear holocaust. And then six are for the demons that will be rechained when our Lord Jesus Christ comes to restore his kingship and his glory upon earth. 666. But let's focus on that first six right now. That Lucifer, for all of you Bayside scholars, Our Lady said, when was his first earth year? 1940, Our Lady said. Earth year 1940 was Lucifer's first year. we know that the other five major demons released from hell occurred in the early 70s, and it concluded, I think it was in 1976. Demons 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 were released in the early 70s, the last one released in 1976. So what we have here is Lucifer and five of his major demons and their minions, their cohorts, these agents of darkness, and with all of their furor and energy they can muster, they are zeroing in on Pope Benedict XVI, and more specifically, the papacy. As Our Lady says in the message, they want to destroy the papacy so they can put their guy in. And as Our Lady has said in the message, they've done a pretty good job at it. And that's only a manner of speaking. As Father mentioned, Jesus and Mary will be triumphant. But they have done a pretty good job at it. They have discredited the office of vicar now. Nothing is sacred. Before, usually, priests, bishops, they kind of went after them. The Holy Father had kind of a shield, if you will, especially with this clerical sex abuse scandal. But not the last 4 to 8 weeks. Not for the last month or two. Anything goes. And they are going after them. The news media, like Our Lady says again, the news media are absolutely controlled, and they're being used by the evil one to achieve this diabolical, this terrible, terrible effect of destroying the papacy, discrediting it, so they can put in their own guy. What has Our Lady in Our Lord said? How many times? The one world government and the one world religion. When my church and the world become one, know that the end is at hand. And so you discredit Pope Benedict XVI, and they want to get the new guy in who's going to be a humanist. He's going to be the Antichrist Pope of history. Our Lady said, remember October 6, 1992? She talked about two major despots, which ultimately Our Lady talked about as the supreme dictator of evil. And our Holy Father, this is what he is braving or enduring right now. And what's so impressive, though, with the Holy Father so far, and that's why we have the Holy Hour every Sunday, right? Praying for the clergy and specifically for the Pope. And he needs the help of St. Michael. He needs our prayers to back him up. And so far, he's doing a good job. I love the way he worded it. With all that he's going, I want to quote him exactly. I love the way he worded it. With all of the abuse, the verbal abuse that he's experiencing right now, the pontiff said, faith in God helps lead one, quote, toward the courage of not allowing oneself to be intimidated by the petty gossip of dominant opinion. End of quote. Well said, isn't it? Beautiful. Amen. He seems like he has those German characteristics, it seems, and that toughness, that stubbornness, if you will, that quiet strength of St. Joseph. He doesn't seem like a rah-rah, charismatic type like John Paul II. You might describe him as more charismatic. I mean in the truest sense. I don't mean with the movement. But Pope Benedict XVI has that quiet strength of St. Joseph, say. So, but we got to keep him on. We got to keep supporting him with our prayers. We need him. Our Lady said, doesn't want the Holy Father to flee. He's to stay strong and not let the assaults of the evil one intimidate him or affect his thinking. So that's what we're hoping and praying for. And I want to bring your attention right here. This appears to us what the Holy Father is dealing with. This picture here, this was a picture that was taken on March 27th of this year. It was taken by a Baysider, a longtime devotee, Jeff from Philadelphia. He actually had something else in mind. But at the time, the Holy Father, March 27th, and it's continuing, the Holy Father, of course, is enduring so much, is bearing with so much. I immediately saw to me, I saw this as a demon, as a wolf, really representing the 666 attack on the papacy. So this was the normal view right here. This is the Polaroid. Now, if you turn it one way to the left, you'll see what looks to be a demon or a very, very ugly face. You'll see right here a side profile right here. This is the top of his head. Here's his two eyes, kind of empty skull-like eyes right here. His nose would be here, and his mouth is open. Do you see that? Doesn't that look ugly? And you might say he has one of those thin necks. Now, over also here, interesting, a lady speaks so often. Right here, you see the body or the torso, and you see all the different legs here. What do you see? Octopus. Doesn't that look like an octopus right here? A lady speaks, she speaks frequently in the message about the octopus of evil. We spoke earlier. What they want to get rid of this pope, they want to destroy the discredit of the papacy, they want the one world government. Very, very clear in the message. And they're not going to do it. The last institution on earth that has any semblance of moral force is the papacy and the Holy Catholic Church. If they can tear that down, everything else will follow like dominoes. That's the last bastion for goodness and for truth. And certainly Pope Benedict represents that. So there's the demon attacking the Holy Father and the octopus of evil. How many legs does an octopus have? Eight. I mean, humanism, communism, socialism, grandmasters, Satanism, the news media, the bankers, the Illuminati. There's eight legs right there. This is what he's contending. The full force and fury of 666, who's using people like David Rockefeller. And it still amazes me that quote that we put in our monetary HST, remember that? Where we quoted from David Rockefeller's own autobiography and how bold and brazen and pompous he was. And he says right there, yeah, I'm doing a one world government and one world religion, and I make no apologies. That's what he said. Right in his autobiography. It's like, stop me, catch me if you can. What are you going to do?
Stephen Rockefeller is a professor emeritus at Middlebury College in Vermont, and he has put a charter together with Mikhail Gorbachev and some other man, and they put a charter together at the United Nations, and this is their Green Charter. As a matter of fact, I thought Mikhail Gorbachev's title. They said his title is the International President of the Green Cross. Remember how you said Cardinal Biffy, you know, the retreat master, had said that the Antichrist will use ecology and the green movement to push forward? Well, this charter is already together, and it's with the Rockefellers and Mikhail Gorbachev. It's already been put together at the United Nations.
Amazing. Yes, I know. You see all the pieces right there. But that was interesting. The octopus right here. Now, if you look at it this way, right here now we have another side view here. It looks to be a claw. That's the torso, and you see all the different little fingers and claws. So he's going, rawr. But if you turn it upside down, you see the hand right here, and then this would be the fingers. But it's more like a claw going, rah, rah. And yeah, I know Marguerite was seeing some things. There's so much in these photographs. We could spend an hour on just one photograph. But the main point I just wanted to bring up with this photograph is it certainly seems to confirm, or if there was any doubts, it clarifies that our Holy Father is clearly the object of the 666 attack. And he needs our continued prayers and support. I know I was so concerned myself that I asked James, I says, would you please hold three candles like Veronica used to do? And Bill took three photographs that same vigil, March 27th, which would have been Palm Sunday vigil. And these are the three photographs that came out. Now, after the meeting, if you take a look at it and let me know if you see anything, but I know it's just very scary. If we lose this Holy Father, if in fact he does what he's not supposed to do, and remember he made this prayer at his inaugural Mass, and I'm going to read this quote right now, that he does not flee. And he said that. Now, he
did say that.
Yes, he did. Now, brothers and sisters, I have the excerpt right here, and some people could say that he may not mean this literally, but it sure does sound it. And this is what he said at his inaugural Mass on April 24th, 2005, when he was elected to the Pope. My dear friends, at this moment I can only say, pray for me, that I may learn to love the Lord more and more. Pray for me that I may learn to love his flock more and more. In other words, you, the Holy Church, each one of you and all of you together, pray for me that I may not flee for fear of the wolves. Let us pray for one another that the Lord will carry us and that we will learn to carry one another. Pray for me that I may not flee for fear of the wolves. April 24th, 2005. Well, this is what he's being attacked by right now, the wolves. And let me know if you see anything in here that strikes you. This was regarding our Holy Father. This was the Palm Sunday vigil. James held three candles and William snapped the photographs. And there's some interesting things there too. But this is, it's really, really scary. I mean, to show you the depth of their hatred or animosity for our Holy Father. If you follow the news, you know that a jurist in England, Christopher Hutchins, he's a child of God, okay. He's the one that has been lambasting, who has absolutely attacked Mother Teresa, has called her a fraud, an imposter. He has spared nothing against Mother Teresa. Why he's going after her, God only knows. Didn't he write a whole book against her, Father? Do you know?
He's written a book, but I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Anyways, I'm sorry. I don't mean to get off the track here. He, along with a jurist, a judge from England, want to initiate, when the Pope visits Britain in September, want to initiate the charge of crimes against humanity against our Holy Father.
Oh, sorry, Richard. Against the Pope Benedict XVI.
Who are you talking about?
Christopher Hitchens, the atheist.
Yeah, Christopher Hitchens, yeah, he's an atheist. I believe he's actually written a book he's attacked Mother Teresa left and right. Called her a fraud, an imposter, a joke, a scandal, that she's destroyed millions of lives. Anyways, he, along with a judge from England, when the Pope comes to Britain, want to initiate this charge, crimes against humanity. Because they did that against Milosevic, I think, when he came to England in 1998. That's how they got Milosevic from Yugoslavia. So they want to do the same thing to our Holy Father.
On Raymond Arroyo on EWTN the other night, they said they want to arrest the Pope when he comes to Britain. This was on Raymond Arroyo said it.
That's right, arrest, yeah. Actually, that's right. That's actually more accurate. That's right. I mean, there's nothing that they're not doing here. And this is, what about this one? This is from did you see this? From the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. Okay, so this isn't some wacko blogger on the internet. This is the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, which wrote this article. In fact, Father John Zulsdorf, you might recognize that name, is bringing this to our attention. And in this article, he's basically saying that when we went to Afghanistan, we went to Iraq, we were trying to get Osama bin Laden, he was a terrorist, and if we get him, you know, there'll be peace in the world. this ABC, Australian Broad, is making the same relationship with the Holy Father. He says, we have to get the Holy Father too. And so he says, why not bomb the Vatican and riddle the Pope with bullets as he staggers out of the flames? I mean, unbelievable. This is the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. That they're so brazen. And I mean, again, without becoming an alarmist here, but this is the fury and rage that our Holy Father is dealing with. We're dealing with it. We're all in the same soup. We're not independent of the Holy Father. If they get the Holy Father, we're in big trouble too. And you're hearing more and more calls for resignation. You've read that in the paper. That priest in Boston, Michael, that was on the front page of the New York. A priest in Massachusetts and Longmeadow, yeah, calling for the Pope's resignation. There's been a few editorial papers that are editorial stances asking for the Pope's resignation. So I just want to read a couple of excerpts right here. Jesus, September 28th, 1978. In his plan, the plan of Lucifer, he seeks to unite my church with the world, and this I shall not permit. That's conditional, though. May 30th, 1977, Our Lady, the forces of 666 are gathered throughout the world. They seek to destroy your vicar in Rome and gain full control of the seat of Peter. That was May 30th, 1977. Jesus, March 18th, 1989. So you can understand that Satan has entered now with his armies in full regalia, appearing as humans. However, they are demons in disguise, and they have one ultimate aim: to try to destroy my church, the Roman Catholic Church, with the seat of Peter as the head. October 6, 1978, Jesus, I'm just going to hit boom, 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 boom. Yes, a man of dark secrets and spirit will be placed upon the seat of Peter. Those who have the light know a true vicar. That's consolation for you and me. Those who have the light know a true vicar. I'm repeating the words of Jesus. Those who have the light know a true vicar. Tell me this doesn't apply. This is April 13th, 1974. At the time was Pope Paul VI. Doesn't matter. It's the papacy they're after, not so much the individual, but it's the papacy. And this is April 13th, 1974. Our Lady, you, quote, you must warn and caution the children of earth not to abandon the vicar of Christ. The enemies about him seek to set the pace for his downfall. They will bring it to print through the medias of your world, your newspapers, your radio, and that agent that you have known as television. Grave errors, misquotes, misconceptions, and lies. Know now that these lies were created by Satan, for Satan is the father of all liars, my child. He is the epitome of deceit and deception. And I just want to add something. This really galls me. When you have the New York Times, Newsweek, Time, and all of these major newspapers all of a sudden taking up the banner for these victims of the clergy sex abuse scandal. And I have to preface, God help them. I am not speaking against these poor, innocent victims that have suffered enormously. Please don't misunderstand me. My point is this. They could care two hoots about that. They could care two hoots about these victims. That's just a ruse. It's a convenient issue that they're seizing that they can use to attack the Holy Father. And that's why they're doing it. There's no true compassion. Remember Rockefeller said, here's another brazen quote that Rockefeller said. Remember, we've said it many times here, where he said, I want to thank the Washington Post, the New York Times, and Newsweek magazine. He listed a few of the major editorial organs. I want to thank them for the job well done, because we couldn't do it without them. And that's what Our Lady said. It's interesting. It's interesting when I was reviewing this. Sometimes we just think that the news media was just automatically a bad guy. Not so. Like Our Lady says in the message at one point, they made a willful decision. They decided, I'm going to work with Rockefeller or with the bad guys or with the Trilateral Commission or the CFR or the Bilderbergers, however way you want to describe it. They made that decision because years ago, some of them were very good. In fact, the former publisher of Time magazine, what's his name, Luce? He was very good, wasn't he? Years ago, the editor of Time magazine, Luce, he was very good, a man of justice and truth. But they've, like Our Lady, they've fallen. They've fallen. And so, and they're taking up the cause of evil. And how many times did Our Lady say the message that the 666, the devils, the Rockefeller, those, they're using the news media to advance their cause.
When you think, the New York Times was founded by a German Catholic from Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Right, that was interesting.
And Gabriel Amaroth says that Satanism is in the New York Times now. He just said that. Gabriel Amaroth just
What did he say?
Just recently, maybe 3 weeks ago, that Satanism is at the New York Times now, is working in the New York Times.
Did he say that? Boy, he is. Who's talking? Father, you were talking about the prophets, and I think someone here mentioned about God raising up prophets. Well, we did say that. That's how they're doing. Father Gabriel Amaroth is definitely a prophet for these times. And these other good priests and religious that have spoken out, certainly in conjunction and harmony with the Bayside message, they are prophets. Father, as you say so many times, God does not abandon us. And he does raise up people of goodwill and of courage and conviction. So this is, but anyways, I'm probably hitting you with a lot of stuff here. But this is, it's just unbelievable what they're doing to our poor Holy Father. September 6, 1975, Our Lady, quote, "You will not make judgment upon your present events because your news medias, my children, have also joined the father of all liars, Satan." It's pretty intense. I have tons of excerpts, but I think you've heard enough. We've made our point here. Pray for our Holy Father. Storm heaven. Come to the holy hours. If you're not, do whatever you can. We need his presence.
Yes, one of those quotes, is there some way you can put that online, like a, you know, a quick summary of that so we can hand that out to people?
Yeah, yes. One thing we will do immediately, Michael, as you may know, is this meeting goes online. This meeting will be online, and right now there's 45, 50 people here, right? But actually hundreds of people listen to this online from all over the world. And we get some nice excerpts, nice testimonials too. So this message is getting out that way too. It's available MP3, or you can listen to it online, or you can just download it on MP3. And a lot of good information there. So,
yes, Harry.
Yeah, last week I saw on the nightly news.
I'm sorry, Harry. While you're asking a question, Brian wants to pass the basket there. Any help that you can give us, we appreciate it.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was watching the nightly news, and I think it was Nightline, and the Pope sort of flipped out with a sleazy newsman, and he slapped him across the hands.
Really?
He slapped him because he was bringing up the Father Marcel episode, which is like 10 years old. They're throwing everything at him. He just went, ooh, and he slapped the guy across the hand.
The Holy Father?
The Holy Father slapped him across the hand. I saw it.
Oh, my goodness.
That sounds characteristic.
He's feeling the pressure.
His
temper is... going back 10 years.
Feels so much like...
I know. Well, this is it. I mean, again, we sympathize with the victims of this terrible scandal. But what do you want the Holy Father to do? He, as he has shown by his fruits, and I will say, many bishops and cardinals have come to his defense. That's good to see. Cardinal Schönborn, Cardinal Laveda, the head of the CDF, Cardinal Schönborn, and Archbishop Timmy Dolan, they have been very, very good. So, and they should do that. And they should do that. But, I mean, he has taken the lead in fighting and resisting this. But, I mean, where are the other people's compassion? They're doing the best they can under the circumstances. This is kind of like a new phenomenon, too. Sometimes you have to feel your way and... I mean, my goodness. I mean, they've just been ferocious. And like, like we're saying, is this really purely motivated? Please. Peter.
We really got to get this message out to the whole world. If you're on a faceless planet, you should get that message out whichever way you can. Because this is against our faith, what's going on here. I mean, look at the Holy Father. They're attacking the church. Where are we going to go from here if we lose our Holy Father? I mean, the time is right. Wherever you are on this here planet, you should at least come on and get online, get the messages, and let people know what's going on with the Rockefellers. I love giving that money, Terry Crash, message out, because you know that Rockefeller is absolutely no good. I mean, absolutely, you know, we got to take care of him. And I like going on Fifth Avenue and giving it out right there. And so you do it in Frankfurt, Munich, wherever, Italy, South America, Guatemala, Ireland, Colombia, wherever in the world, Massachusetts, Boston, giving it to them. China, that's right. They're getting earthquakes there. Philippines, right? We need Filipino people here. But we really need to get this message out to the whole world and do it now. Not tomorrow, because look it. If they close down our churches and everything, you know, we got to show support for the Holy Father and for our Catholic faith.
One important point is the communism that has their fingers in the pie here, too. They want to overthrow the Pope, too. Remember our lady talked about the sickle bears and the white bear, which represents communism? They have their hand in the pie here. They want to overthrow. They want to overthrow the Pope here, too. That's why consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And that's a whole nother subject. But they have their fingerprints all over this as well. What did we say? Octopus of evil. Octopus of evil. That's one of the major arms. Communism, socialism, humanism, modernism, banking, grandmasters, Satanism. That's about eight arms right there. Keep that in mind. And as always, great audience. Great audience. I'm going to close with the wise words, no less, from the Jewish former New York City mayor, Ed Koch. This is great. This is great. You can't make this stuff up. Quote, I believe the continuing attacks by the media on the Roman Catholic Church and Pope Benedict have become manifestations of anti-Catholicism, said former New York City Mayor Ed Koch in the Jerusalem Post yesterday. Koch, a conservative Jew, says he disagrees with the Catholic Church on abortion, homosexuality, divorce, contraception, and more. But nevertheless, says the Church has a right to hold to these beliefs. Quote, many of those in the media who are pounding on the Church and the Pope today clearly do it with delight and some with malice. Koch added, quote, I disagree with the Church on all of these positions. Nevertheless, it has a right to hold these views in accordance with its religious beliefs. He continues, he's basically saying, despite his ideological disagreements with the Church, quote, Koch says, quote, I believe the Roman Catholic Church is a force for good in the world, not evil, end of quote. Then he concludes, this is the concluding, I love this one, this is great. He concludes, quote, enough is enough. Yes, terrible acts were committed by members of the Catholic clergy. The Church has paid billions to victims in the U.S. and will pay millions, perhaps billions more. It is trying desperately to atone for its past by its admissions and changes in procedures for dealing with pedophile priests. I will close with a paraphrase of the words of Jesus, as set forth in John 8:7. He that is without sin among you, let him cast the next stone. End of quote.
Your generosity and financial assistance is greatly appreciated at this time and needed. The financial crunch has certainly taken its toll at SMWA. with donations down 25% from last year, and at a time when it's needed most. If there was ever a time to shout this urgent message from the rooftops, it is now, at this critical moment in the history of our country. Our goal at this time is to step up our efforts and accelerate the race from heaven. But without your support, we are virtually on the sidelines. Could you not help us at this time? We appeal to you because it is you that we depend on. It is because of your prayers and your assistance that we are where we are today. Your tax-deductible contribution is fuel in our tank that runs this machine. St. Michael's is the one apostolate committing to bringing this urgent and soul-saving message to the world. You're not going to get this message anywhere else. So if your intention is truly to propagate the faith and save souls for heaven, well, here's your chance. Send your letters today to St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. Please know that whatever you do send is deeply appreciated by all of us at St. Michael's World Apostolate. Our mailing address again is St. Michael's World Apostolate, P.O. Box 514, Bayside, New York, 11361. Our website, www.smwa.org. And may Our Lady bless you.